Hello, everyone. I'm Tom.
And I'm Charlie.
And this is going to be Tom Aspinall's The Inner Game podcast, mate. We have had a fantastic time doing this thing, haven't we?
Oh, it's been great. Absolutely loved it. Obviously, filmed over a few months, but we've had some absolutely amazing guests from Louis Farrugh, Grace Neutral, Leah. Yeah, the list goes on and on, mate.
Mate, we've had some big names in. And more importantly, we've had some great conversations. And even more importantly, we've had some great conversations away from MMA, which has been pretty interesting to see people's mindsets on how they have become and stayed successful over the years. But first of all, we started with H. So let's
you,
get it.
You didn't really know what to expect with H, did you?
No, H was, I knew he's like a bit of a rapper, and he's been on, well, not a bit of a rapper, he is a rapper, and he's been on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, but I didn't actually know that much about him, but came away absolutely big fan of H.
Authentic, the energy, everything about him, he just, yeah, it felt like I was just talking to a friend. For our first episode, he put us all at ease, and as you say, there's some good stories on I'm a Celeb, but also, some mad stories of him as a rapper and kind of what he goes through.
Yeah, I think we actually, we did make friends that day, I feel, and we're going to go to one of his shows, aren't we? But anyway, let's get into it. Let's get into that.
Hello and welcome to Tom Aspinall's The Inner Game. We're at Champion Combat Center. I'm Charlie Moose, the everyday person, just like you, trying to find out off elite performers across different professions, their mentality, mindset, all that good stuff. And who better to do it with than Tom Aspinall?
I think you played yourself down a little bit there, Charlie. Charlie actually does my social media. He's all across it, does all that. But today we have got a special guest on. We've got H. Welcome, mate.
What's going on, boys? How are we?
All good.
Little trip,
down the road, innit? You know what I mean?
No, mate, we're buzzing to have you on, mate. And this is all about, obviously, getting to know you, your story. But I know as well, you're a big fan of Tom as well.
I am. This is actually the first time we've met properly, innit?
Properly, yeah.
Last time I seen Tom blanked me.
No, it's not,
that's not the case. Not the case. UFC Paris, I was like, do you know who that was? He was like, I just thought it was a Manchester lad from down the road.
Yeah, I would have done exactly the same thing Tom did, to be quite honest with you.
No, we'd actually just been in like a meet and greet bit, haven't we?
Yeah.
And we were just like trying to get through
just
to our seats. And then
Parisians, not...
Yeah, they weren't. Yeah.
I see. Do you know what? It's funny because obviously we was there at the whole press conference and all that before, and when you came on the stage and we're just hearing all these French people, obviously I can't speak French, God knows what they were saying, but they sounded pretty evil.
Yeah, they weren't happy with me.
They weren't happy with you.
We're in a friendly environment today, mate.
Yeah, of course. It's vibes today.
It's easy. But mate, we want to get straight into it.
Yeah.
And obviously there's a lot of parallels between the two of you, which like I'm really looking forward to sort of exploring and understanding. But I've got to say, mate, obviously from the start, Manchester,
come on,
what it means to you, you know, both of you almost kind of the people's champion.
Yeah.
Was that a case for you, very like sort of working class background?
Yeah, we in terms of like coming up in my career and all and whatnot, and like doing the whole like representing Manchester thing, that was just some like there was just always some innocence to it, you know what I mean? I never actually came in the game going, I'm going to represent Manchester. I just didn't know anything other than Manchester, you know what I mean? I'm going, obviously a lot of the music industry is based in London, so when I'm going London, I'm almost considering that as a holiday, you know what I mean? I'm almost saying, yeah, we're going London for the weekend, buzzing. So like, I don't know, I think naturally everyone always represents where they're from, obviously, but Manchester's one of them places, isn't it? Like, it's kind of a Manchester or nothing thing, innit? So me coming up, it was just like, I'm not going to like bend no rules or like bend my accent or bend the way I do or say things for the sake of anyone else. This is, in my head, this is the right way. You know what I mean? Because that's all I know. So that was kind of like the vibe really, yeah.
You feel that as well though, mate, don't you? It's almost like it gives you that grounding as well.
Yeah, 100%. Like it's a pretty small place in the world. Like we're both on world stages really.
Mm-hmm.
And I think... Like you said, I never set out and be like, this is where I'm from. Everyone needs to respect where I'm from. This is, but sometimes I look back and think, shit, I've done this from being from where I am.
It's special.
It is, definitely is.
And even like coming up, yeah, there's not, don't get me wrong, there's always been role models in Manchester, but there's never been correct me if I'm wrong, there's never been on all, like, on all different scales and in all different worlds kind of thing. Do you get what I mean? There was, I don't know how to explain it. Like, when, for me coming up, there's only certain people that come into my head when it comes to like inspirational music artists, and that's kind of like the Stone Roses, Oasis kind of vibe. But in terms of rappers, it weren't really the case. And I suppose for UFC fighters as well, really and truly, you know what I mean? Manchester's always had some good boxers.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's one of them things, and like, you do need to, I don't want to sound like a bit of an idiot here, but you do need to appreciate it as well, because I always use the example of, if you're from London, for example, I don't want to seem like it's easier to do anything in London. So before all you Cockneys get on me, yeah. But, you know, if I was born in North London trying to rap, I'm coming up going, well, I already know 16 people from this area that's done their thing, so obviously I can do it. And the same for East London, West London and South London, whatever. But in Manchester, it's all like, all right,
100%.
We're doing this.
But that means it must have had to have been a passion for you at a young age, similar to Tom, knowing, being around him. Obviously, you've always just said, I did this because I love fighting. Was that the same with you at school?
Yeah,
and everything?
Bro.
You just love rapping?
I started rapping because my mate sent me a Snapchat slagging my mum off. Yeah, like just rhyming. We weren't, no voice notes, just typing it. So then I'm typing back and we're going back and forth, literally slagging each other's mum off. I'm sorry, mum. And then I've ended up like just writing paragraphs on paragraphs, rhyming, you know what I mean? I'm thinking, right, I'm actually pretty good at this. And then one day, once upon a time, don't remember this day at all, I must have put a beat on and started rapping, and I've gone, yeah, this is me all day. I've always been, well, growing up, I always had posters all over my room, 50 Cent, Eminem, this person, that person. I've always just been infatuated with it, you know what I mean? Because this is the truest story, because my older cousin, who used to babysit me, she let me watch Get Rich or Die Trying way too young.
No way.
Then I was supposed to watch it. And since I was about 6 years old, I was just infatuated with 50 Cent, and all I wanted to be was 50 Cent.
That's mad though, isn't it? Because just to like have that vision from a young age. And I think that's something that I've had as well. It's just like, I don't give a shit how this works, but I'm going to make it work.
You're going to make it work, innit, bro? Like, you have to. And like, there's also something amazing about being like young and like mad and dumb. You know what I mean? Because in my head, I weren't taking no for an answer anyway. Of course I'm going to be a rapper. You're not telling me I'm not going to be a rapper. Yeah. And it's kind of like that ignorance that you need sometimes, isn't it?
Did you have that supportive environment, like Tom with his parents? Obviously, his dad's been very supportive,
yeah.
But your mum was there as well. Did you have that with your mum and dad as well?
100%. I was kind of like, I never like told my mum and dad I wanted to be a rapper. I think they just woke up one morning and my video was getting shared all over Facebook. And then my mum and dad was like, oh, you a rapper? I was like, yeah.
That's mad. I can't imagine the cringe. You must have been like, oh my God.
But it's funny because obviously I've asked them about it since, and they've said it was funny because we kept like hearing you, like walking past your room, like rapping, but with no music on. So, and obviously it was my raps, innit? But they never thought nothing of it. But I don't know. You don't, again, because there's no like inspiration or there's no like blueprint to do it. So like, I never felt the need to go downstairs to my mum and dad and say, hi, I'm going to be a rapper.
Yeah, that would be cringe, right?
Do you get what I mean? Like, what the hell? But then, there was mad supportive, bro. Like, back then, I used to go to the studio, it was £20 an hour, and I'd go to my mum. They'd have to be in separate rooms, and I'd go to my mum and say, can I have a tenner? She'd give me a tenner, and I'd go to my dad, say, can I have a tenner? Yeah, bang, go to the studio for an hour. And that was me. And then eventually, do you know what? There was more than supportive, because, and then you want to do videos, and how it works is there's certain YouTube channels that you want your video to be on, but it might cost you £250, £300, and I just sit and beg my mum and dad for £200, £300, and they would do it.
But that moment before, because I've heard this about your mate posting a video.
Well, yeah, so this is how it actually came about. So I never, the video that my mum and dad seen circling, that was actually never supposed to be on the internet. It was actually a case of, because I was just rapping to my friends, but I never actually heard myself back. I never recorded nothing. So it's like me giving you the phone now for the first time ever and say, just film me, bro, while I'm rapping so I can listen to it back. See what I sound like. Cool, film it. Yeah, rapping, cool. And I remember, so clear, I got my phone out and said to him, yeah, send me this. And my phone was dead and I couldn't wait. And I put my phone in my pocket, got on my pedal bike, rode all the way home so I could charge the phone and get the video sent to me. By the time I've got home and that phone's came on, the video's on YouTube. But I'm thinking he's doing that to embarrass me. So I fell out with my mate now. I'm fuming. I can't wait to see him in school now. And I've got to school and these girls are coming up to me with the earphones, passing me the earphone, going, look at this. And I put it in and it was my video. And I was like, oh, yeah.
That's mad. So at what point did you go from like, right, sending me mate Snapchats, we're ripping each other's mums and that, to like going to YouTube and then thinking, fucking hell, like I can do this as a career?
I think it all just comes in like little steps. Like obviously that video miraculously has ended up on the internet, whether I liked it or not. And let's say, I can't remember the exact numbers, but let's say it ended up with 3,000 views, which at the time was like, yeah, what, 3,000 people have seen my thing. So naturally you're just like, let's just do the next one and try and get 5. Let's try and get 10, boom, boom, boom. And then before you know it, I wasn't in the game, but before you know it, it was like, right, this is what I'm doing right now. I weren't making a penny. I didn't make a penny till I was 18, which is still young to make money off music, but these times I was 15, 16 trying to do this, whatever. And it just came like that really, bro. And then like, obviously you're a young kid, you're liking the little bits of attention you're getting, you know what I mean, off the ladies or whatever, or just even just the respect off other boys. You know how it gets when you're a kid and you've got your little group of men and you're all on your pedal bikes and you go over to this other area and I'm going to this other area and these guys are like, yo, I've just seen your video, you're cold, you know what I mean? I'm all thinking, yeah, this is nice. So I think it was just a natural thing, bro. Like, I never even thought about money. I never thought, like, I'm going to make money off this. It was just more so, I like doing this. I like the attention it's bringing, which I am eating my words now. I like the attention it's bringing, whatever. And little baby goals, bro. Let's try and turn that 5K to 10K views to 15K views. And then, obviously, fast forward, whatever, 2018, I've ended up dropping a freestyle, which was meant to be, long story short, I made my own YouTube channel because I got advised, which was 100% the right advice, like stop putting your music on other people's channel. These people are just eating off your thing. Go and build your own fan base, and 10 views on your channel is better than 10,000 views on someone else's. I was like, yeah, cool, whatever. Made the channel and done a freestyle on it to build some subscribers because I had a song that I thought was the best song in the world. Looking back, it's the shittest song in the world, yeah. But that I was ready to drop on my YouTube channel. So I'd done a freestyle in the meantime to just build up some subscribers. And a week later, I had record labels phoning me.
Just listening to you there about your self-beliefs, obviously a massive thing in music, but then at the same time, trying to keep yourself grounded and not changing you, because this is something that you obviously... He's always had like, I see it with his dad, always keeps him very much grounded. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even on fight nights, it's just another fight, go and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Where do you, is that within yourself? Is that your environment?
Yeah, I think that, see the thing with like, when people say like, the people around them keep him grounded, that's kind of like correct me if you think I'm wrong, like an unspoken thing. Like, I don't think Tom's dad is sitting there and at the forefront of his mind is like, I need to keep Tom grounded. It's just natural in people. I think Tom was never going to be a C word anyway. Do you know what I mean?
No, people ask me like a lot, and it's a bit of a weird thing, but they're like, how do you stay so grounded, humble? I'm sure you get the same.
And
it's just like, well, why would I not be? I think I would never want to be like some dickhead who's like flashing it about and showing off, do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's just because when we've been with Paddy, and Paddy said like, well, if I tried to be like this, if I started going around in a nice car or whatever, he's like, the people around me would bring me down pretty quickly. So that's why I was asking
100%. I also think it depends what industry you're in, because I've definitely made decisions and I've come home that day and my dad's gone, you're a twat. Do you know what I mean? But my mum on the other hand has been like, if it makes you happy, do it. I've kind of like got that kind of balance.
And you're also on perception as well. He's got win fights, whereas yours is built on perception and brand.
Yeah, like I suppose there's no winner or loser in my game. And I'm in a very weird world that I think I'm one of the only people in where like one minute I'm a rapper who's got a load of diamond chains on, I'm thinking is the shit. And then next minute I'm on like, I'm a celebrity, get me out of it, advocating for the Down Syndrome Association.
Yeah.
So like, I've got this mad little split audience where like, if I post a picture now with me, all my jewellery on like this, holding my watch up, there's 50% of my audience that are going to be like, this is lit, this is amazing, H is, I want to be like H. And the other 50% are going to be like, what a twat.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? So
well, that's the difference, isn't it, between like real life and like quote unquote celebrity life.
Exactly. And that's me being weak.
Yeah.
I'm really and truly, what's the word? I'm giving into the game there because I'm naturally not like that. I'm not even a bossy guy like that.
Is that why you have H and Harrison then?
I suppose so, yeah. But obviously I've built this mindset of, right, I'm a rapper, so I need to uphold certain things. Do you get what I mean? Because
that's tiring though as well.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. That's not me being fake either, don't get me wrong, like, but... And I also came into the game pretty young, so as I've got older now, there's definitely certain things I've done in the past. Even certain things I've said in songs where I'm like, ooh, why did you say that?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I know for a fact with him, we'll do days where, you know, he's out there, Tom Aspinall brand, the rest of it, and then he's like, I need time to myself. Mm-hmm. Do you have those moments as well?
Yeah, definitely, because especially this day and age, you know, I suppose back in the day, you might have only had, you know, if you was born 20 years before, you might have only had one job and it was to turn up on the day,
yeah,
finish, man. And go on.
Well, that was my job for a long time, mate. It's like,
but now there's all this
you do that. Yeah, you do your fight. 500 people watch it, 1,000 people watch it. You go home and your life's exactly the same. Whereas now it's like you say, you've got the social media, you've got, you know, your sponsorship stuff, media obligations, yeah, all the rest of it. And then you walk down the street, people want pictures, exactly, and people, yeah, want to record you and test you and all that.
Unfortunately, yeah, there's you've got to find a balance of, you know, there's going to be some times where you're getting phone calls saying, we've got content day to day, this, and you're thinking, I don't even want Instagram in general. But then at the same time, you doing these things is probably going to equal a bigger paycheck on fight night.
That's
it?
What makes you successful, though. And it's like you're saying about them two different sides. You've got like the normal life and then the life with the chains and the watches. But you have to like play into both, don't you?
You have to, yeah, yeah. So it is a funny game. I think every industry that involves being in the public eye is a funny game. Do you get what I mean? Especially, yeah, this day and age. There's a lot. Again, with a rap thing, it's not just about being a good rapper anymore. When I first blew up, I blew up off the sole basis that I was a sick rapper. You don't actually have to be a sick rapper right now. There's everything else around it. You know what I mean? If you've got a good promo team and you have got a couple little diamond chicks, whatever, you know what I mean? And you're looking like the part, really, you could be a very, 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 very consistently average rapper and make a good living right now.
There's definitely parallels as well. But one thing I did want to say is obviously with Tom, he's got kids that keep him grounded as well. Mm-hmm. So he's coming back home and having that. But for yourself as well, with your sister, with Gracie and your other sister as well, you always talk when I listen to you in interviews and I'm always like, oh, he cares about his family. Mm-hmm. How important is that to you on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, it's mad important. If I actually like, not even to like get deep at all, yeah, but like,
go deep.
As I've got older, I've come to the realization that I've basically one day my mum and dad are going to get old and not be able to do certain things that they can do now. And especially when I think about Grace and my certain sister, I've got to find the balance of, obviously she's a twin, Hattie and Gracie are twins in it, but I need to find the balance of like, letting Hattie have her own life and not feel like she needs to be glued to her sister when my mum and dad go wherever they need to go. But at the same time, do you get what I'm trying to say? So
I
kind of got to take that role in myself, and I don't know how life's going to go. I don't know what's going to be going on in 10, 15 years. So I think I've got to the point now where I am making decisions for them too and not me. So again, back to that whole rapper thing, maybe instead of buying that diamond chain, maybe just put that money to the side of the set, because you know what I'm saying?
Definitely, 100%. My son's autistic, and he's young, he's six, but I'm getting to the point where it's like, how's the rest of the life going to look for everybody? And it's weird because my son's a twin as well. So he's
really?
Got a twin brother, yeah.
Sick.
So it's like, yeah, you have to consider when someone's like, disabled or not quote unquote normal, it has to be like, right, how's the future going to look? I'm going to put this money aside for this. But not only money's not the most important thing, it's like time. Like, who's got, like, when I'm 50 years old, like, where's my son going to be at? Like, how's it going to affect the relationship with my wife, with his brothers,
with
my mum and dad,
you
know, all that stuff. It all comes into play, doesn't it?
A bit more, you got to have a bit more of a thought process and, you know, to it. I think, and exactly what you're saying, like, it's like I'm in a position where do I, like, when I get my wife, and all that, and I decide to go and have my own kids, do I include Gracie in them plans? Do I not? Do I have to have a sort of bit and a bit of an agreement with my with our other sister? And it's like, you know, you do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I do Thursday. You know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah, and obviously we've not even got to that road yet, and we'll get to it when it comes, but I'm saying all this to say back to my point about it just being natural how people keep you grounded.
Yeah.
Because no, I could be the type of person, no matter what anyone says to me, I'm going to get myself a wife, I'm going Greece, and you'll never see me again. It's kind of got nothing to do with anyone else, you know what I mean? But I think just the vibe, the environment, the way you get brought up, your parents, the people around you, it all just plays a part naturally, do you know what I mean? And them two little bastards have played a part as well. I've got to look after them too as well.
But it's a balance as well, and I just think it's really important to talk about, especially someone that might be listening to this that's going through that as well. And we were literally talking about before about, you know, it's not all to do with money, it's the memories that you make as well in life. Do you feel the same?
Yeah, definitely, bro. I could, back to my sister, I could give my sister the world, bro. She just wants to go Greg's. Do you get me, bro? £1.50,
yeah.
£2, what's two sausage rolls, sorted. But like, yeah, so it's definitely not about money. And like, I could go buy a shed now. I could come here now and put an air mattress in the gym and say, yeah, Gracie, here's our new house. Sweet. As long as she's the right... Life's about people. You know what I mean? That's also another thing, like, think as long as you got the right people around you, money's not even a thing.
I wanted to talk about, obviously, kind of those career moments where, I mean, winning obviously the Brits at such a young age as well was amazing. But was there a moment for you, talking about moments and kind of that, where you were like, wow, this is incredible?
Do you know what? There's been a few, you know, bro. There's been a good few. I remember performing at Glastonbury one time, and it was just before, you're not going to like this, it was just before the new United kit dropped.
Oh, yeah. Well, Charlie's a City fan as well.
Is it? Oh,
Charlie actually got me into football.
So. Really?
Yeah.
It's all your fault.
Yeah, it's his fault.
And his son.
But it was before the United kit came out, and United came to me and said, do you want to be the first person to promote the kit? I said, yeah. They said, what have you got going on in the schedule? I said, I'm performing at Glastow next week. They said, yeah, then take this. So I've come on in Glastow, and I've put the shirt just in my shorts. I didn't put it on yet. It was just in my shorts. They didn't know. And I've walked on, and I had a 50 times bigger crowd than they expected. It was like seas on seas of people. And I remember performing and like looking down, and it was like a little weird moment of Man United, the team that I've grew up like adoring, have just given me this to promote their thing in the middle of Glasgow in front of about 60,000 people in front of my face now. I think I've made it today.
That's mad.
It was one of them. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I've had a couple moments throughout. Like, I can't lie, my life's been mad, bro. I've done so many mad things, bro. I performed at the Etihad with Coldplay. Wow. That was unreal. From songs with Ed Sheeran, Ashanti. I'm watching the Music Channel growing up, looking at Ashanti, drooling. And then, like, fast forward in life, I'm on the stage looking, and Ashanti's shaking a booty over there, and I'm just like, wow. That's my mate. So I don't know, but I could speak for days, bro, about it. There's been pure moments.
What's the biggest crowd that you performed in front of?
Good question. I've done like, I don't know. I think maybe 80,000 or something.
That's
like that.
Fucking but, lot of
people. But it's a lot of people. That wasn't my show, though.
Yeah.
Do you know what still, I mean? But I've performed.
You've still given some big moments, though.
I'm fascinated, though, because you can remember stuff so clearly. You can't, on the other hand, when it comes to fights and kind of being in that moment, really. It's
but
completely different.
Maybe you're in a different, like, when you're fighting, you're in like, well, I can't speak for everyone, but for me, I'm in like a, I might die here.
Yeah. You've got one objective.
Yeah. So it's like, if you're performing music, I would imagine, I obviously don't know, but you do have time to like enjoy it and take it in.
Yeah.
Whereas like,
100%,
if you're fighting, I'm just thinking, fucking, this might be it.
Yeah.
Like, no, literally.
I'm like, it's definitely like completely different worlds. Like I've got a lot more breathing space than you, I think, in terms of the main day of our work, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and obviously, I just, there'll be times I'm going on tour performing the same hour and a half show for 14 days straight. Do you know what I mean?
So you can do that easy.
So by the fourth day, it's just muscle memory, bro. You're just in there going, yeah.
Cage, basically.
I've even got to the point where, like, I couldn't even tell you. It's weird when you're on the stage, yeah? You have certain points of people, like, how do I explain this without sounding like a weirdo? When I do a show these days, I only see, like, four people, like, in the crowd.
Yeah.
It's because when I look left, I'll just have my focus on, like, this guy here. Like, this is my left-looking angle. This guy here. That guy, and I kind of like don't do any, and it turns into like some muscle memory thing, bro. Like,
the lyrics just going in your head as well.
Lyrics, like, even like, I shit you not, bro. If you named me one of my songs now and said rap it now, I'd go, what did I say there? But if you played the beat,
yeah, you'd be on it.
I'd just go.
What's the comparison for you with that?
In terms of what?
Is it movement, throwing punches?
Well, it just, like you said, you just get into a mode where it's just like, you don't even think about it, it just goes boom.
But the hard part for you is, you don't know what the guy standing opposite is.
Yeah, you don't. You know, it's a mad.
Because all I need to worry about is put your hands in the air and scream.
It's a mad, it's a mad experience, but you become, as soon as the fight starts, it's like, you just, it's what you do every day. So
I've got a question for you. Does a bell ring yet? Obviously, you've been burying man in 1-2 rounds and that, but does it always feel like it's done?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it will extra for you, though.
We were actually talking about it before, like before you came in, obviously off camera and all that. It's like, when I think back to my fights, like you say, granted, a lot of my fights are quite quick, which I'm pretty lucky with that I've not took a lot of damage, but I can't actually really remember being in there.
But
you watch it back, and it's, I don't know if I remember being in there or I just remember watching it back. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
I don't know what's reality and what's, it's like sometimes if someone tells you a memory from years ago, you don't know if you actually remember it or you remember the story that someone told you about.
1,000%.
And it's like that when I watch my fights, I'm like, I don't know if I can really remember that.
Have you ever watched yourself back and gone, what am I doing there?
Loads of times.
I don't know.
You know the weirdest thing?
Critical as well.
I've done so many things in live combat, like in an actual fight, that I've never even done in the gym. And I don't even know.
Just pulled it out of the bag. Yeah.
And it, you know what? It's the worst time you can ever do it, because what you should do is do the stuff that you're most comfortable with.
You shouldn't
be trying to, like, there's been times, right? Obviously, there'll be people just listening to this, so they won't be able to see, but I've been like well far away from someone and I've like ran in and elbowed them from like miles away,
but you'd never,
and like you would you shouldn't do that
at the gym.
You shouldn't do it. Like, so dangerous. And I've watched it back and I'm like, what the fuck? What possessed me to do that?
Well, some of it's just based on gut feeling.
It is.
I mean,
it really is.
Because I don't know. Tell me if I'm wrong. Like, I suppose in some respects, training borderline goes out the window when that bell rings.
It definitely does sometimes.
Like, my man might just start throwing things at you that you was definitely not preparing for.
The chat, I'm thinking what you're saying here, the chat with you and your dad before the Blades fight was stay away from him.
Yeah,
first 60 seconds.
Just goes out the window.
And then Tom's like, he's gone and thrown
just
at Tom.
Got stuck
Tom's
in.
Stuck in straight away.
It's just instinct, yeah.
It's
weird because, like, I'm fighting at the highest level possible, like the fucking peak of the mountain.
Yeah.
And you've got all this footage on your opponent, right? Like, most of my opponents have had 20, 30 fights or whatever. And you watch them and think, right, this is what he generally does. When he does this, I'm going to do this. And you spend weeks and weeks doing that in the gym, repetition, watching like video footage and all that. You get in there and the guy starts doing something completely different.
Some new stuff,
So you have to like be ready for everything. It's mad. But when you're like, before you perform, you're like, you have like a change room or whatever. So like, what are you feeling then before you go out?
Honestly, you want my 100% honest answer? Absolutely nothing.
Right, so you're just chilling like you are now?
Just like, I'd just be like this now. Right. We'd be here, the boys would be backstage, sometime my mum, dad, all that family, whatever, depending on where the show is. And we'd be chilling, really, bro.
Not even 80,000 people, and it's a bigger concert than usual, no? You're not feeling it?
I'd rather perform in front of 80,000 people than you two in this room right now.
Yeah, got it. So you got some tunes on and that, and you're having a few drinks and all that, or no? You're just chilling.
No, I'm not much of a drinker, to be honest, bro. Do you know, and again, it's funny getting asked these questions. I've not been asked these questions. I feel like I've got mad older in the last like year. But like, if we're talking when I was 20, 21, 22, I'm going on tour, getting absolutely smashed every single night. Yeah. The only conversation that's happening before the show is what club are we going to after the show, kind of thing. Tour bus filled with people every night. One of them. as it should be, really. I wouldn't really advise anyone to do it any other way, because there's some of the times of my life just being on that tour bus. So
they're the memories.
Yeah, they're the memories. Everything goes out the window when I step on stage. As soon as I put them earpieces in, yeah, I'm just tunnel vision. I just walk on and it just all flows out.
Do you have like habits and non-negotiables when you're actually performing? Like on that day, you're like, right, this is what I need to do in the morning. This is what, or is it?
No, not really, bro. Obviously, I have certain things in the dressing room and all that, like a honey, lemon, ginger kind of situation. But really and truly, like, it's not needed. I just like to have it just in case. Couple bits of chocolate, fruit, you know what I mean? Just stuff to snack on, really. It's not really that deep. I think I've been doing it for so long and since so young, I don't really know anything different, bro. Like, I'd find it harder doing a simple everyday task than like performing in front of loads of people. Do you get what I'm saying? That seems like less hassle to me. So yeah, natural, bro. I don't really know what else to say on that really. But back in the day, it was a lot more. I say back in the day like I'm dead old. A few years ago, it was mad different. But these days, we'll just turn up. And it's more like, because I've had the same team now from day one. At this point, we all just sit in the changing room reminiscing about all the other sick times we've had. Yeah. And by the time that conversation's over, we're ready to go on stage.
But that sounds like almost that's your... It is really interesting because you're so driven with like training twice a day. This is what I've got to do. This is the diet. This is everything. Whereas with yourself, obviously, it's almost like you're in that flow state the whole time. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, 100%. I feel like I'm definitely in that flow state all the time. I think the obvious difference is that obviously Tom's situation is definitely more physical. My thing, as would guess, is a little bit more mental. I've got to be in the studio and try and think about how I'm going to please all these people with music, which is almost like a science. It is a science, you know what I mean? Definitely. So it's weird, I don't know. And sometimes you can overthink things, or like someone else might drop a song tomorrow that's the biggest song in the world, but that don't mean if you drop the same song that there's no blueprint.
Are you an overthinker?
Yeah, yeah, pretty bad, to be honest with you.
I'm surprised by that. You don't seem like one, but I also am.
Pretty bad. Yeah, I think I come across mad laid back and chilled.
Yeah.
But when I get home, it's all going off in the head.
Yeah. Anxiety or?
Bits. But I know, but.
He was saying it's a superpower, anxiety.
I like that. It is a superpower, really, isn't it?
I think it is. We've spoke about it loads, haven't we?
No, I love it. And you always say fear as well. That's the
most. Yeah, as well. I think it helps me with fighting. Definitely. Yeah, I realised something a long time ago, that fear is going to help me in fighting.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, you don't want to be too casual in there, that's for sure, because you're one punch away
from the last place.
You don't want to be too casual. And 100%. Weird, because what's weird with fighting is the more relaxed you get, the more painful it is, because you have less adrenaline.
Yeah.
Like when I first started fighting, I couldn't feel anything. Like I was getting punched and kicked, I was fine.
Yeah.
Now it's like I'm a bit more laid back and it fucking hurts, man.
I should have got myself pumped up before.
Yeah, I know.
And I also think back to all this extra shit that the world's got us doing right now in terms of social media and all that. That gives me anxiety.
You're always on there.
When I was in that jungle, bro, it was a blessing of not having my phone. Like, yeah. I was only bothered about the task at hand in front of my face. But it was also times at night I'm laying in that bed going, I wonder what the fuck people are saying about me right now. I can't breathe.
So that's where you're at. Was that one of the most frightening times?
But really, I'm one of them people, really and truly deep down, I actually don't give one flying fuck what anyone says or thinks about me at all.
You must do a tiny bit though if you're saying that though.
But I feel like I've been moulded into this thing where I feel like I need to be on social media and I need to do this and I need to do that. And let's just be real, you put stuff out on social media, you're going to have to be prepared to get certain things back in it. You know what I mean? But really, if I didn't do what I'd done, I'd be one of them guys with like the default picture called user 64999742 underscore, one of them ones. But my job tells me otherwise.
You got to talk to us about the jungle, because I think we've got to start the petition.
Mate, there's not a chance.
Get Tom in
there
the jungle.
There's no chance I'll be in there.
Go on,
no,
how was it? So, like,
very hard.
Yeah.
Very hard.
How long was it for, like, the full experience?
I was there for 3 and a bit weeks.
That's a long time.
It's a long time.
You wouldn't even do the flight, would you?
I'd struggle with the flight. I'd be like, no, it's too far for me, that. No chance.
But it's that middle part, yeah, because you're getting through the first week and you think, stop being a bitch, you've been here for 5 days, you know what I mean, been here for 6-7 days, just, it's sweet, you're getting closer, and then you get to this middle part, you're like 12 days in, and you're thinking, fuck me, you're thinking, the end is far,
yeah,
but I've also come too far to give up. I was dying for someone else to walk, and I feel like I might have walked if I watched someone else walk. You know what I mean? I'm sat about thinking, I can't be the first one. I can't be no bitch. But if someone goes tomorrow, I'm going to come in that interview room, blag it and go, I don't want him to fly on his own. It's a long day. I'll go with him. But like, it was harder than I thought it was going to be. I'm not going to sit here and lie, bro. I've signed up for that show thinking, yeah.
But for you though, like, this podcast is about you and sort of all that mentality and mindset. Did it seems like, it, as you say, you've grown up a lot in the last year. Was that a big part of it as well?
Yeah, of course. And obviously, I don't know, really and truly, I don't know I'm a celeb, because it's genuinely a thing that I've grew up watching. I remember I remember being upstairs in my room and my mum shouting, it's coming on, you go downstairs, you're hearing the music, it's all mad. I literally done that show for the sake of, I had a vision in my head of my mum being in the living room and that music starting and me turn, you know, like they all turn around on the start of it and all that. Me being there, I thought that'd be pretty sick for my mum. So I done it.
That's quality.
Yeah, I done it. And I just think as well, on a separate, it was a tough decision for me to make, yeah, because I didn't want to look like, because it is also, it has, not to slag it off, it has been one of them shows in the past where it's a bit of an end of career thing, innit? Or, especially as a rapper, I didn't want to look like I was some failing rapper going on there. And then back to what we were talking about before, I just had to grow some balls and just be like, I'm doing this for me and my people. Like, I don't give a fuck what anyone says, really. Like, and I had to I had to say to myself in my head, I've got myself to this point where I am. I've got myself to be able to go on this show because I'm a sick rapper. If I go on this show now and do what I'm doing, it doesn't mean that my lyrics have got shitter.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? So I just done it. And it was a really good decision.
It's to everything that we've just been talking about, brand and being...
Of course,
and all that stuff. So,
of course, and it also opened people's eyes to me. I think people realised I weren't just some chain wearing rapping ass rapper. You know,
you came across really well on it, I thought.
Yeah.
Was there anyone like? Because I think that I'd struggle to be in the small space with that many people for that long.
Do you know what people don't realise, bro? Yeah, that it's actually really good the first couple of days, because you kind of like meeting like-minded people who have been in kind of similar positions to you, until you get a couple of days in and you know everything about everyone. And I'm not saying this slagging anyone off, I'm saying this on a funny one. And you start hearing the same stories that people have said already. You know what I mean? You think,
oh, it's like your dad, innit?
It's like your dad. Back in fucking my day, I know you told me. You know what I mean? I've heard this all before. But it's good, and it's overall, not to be cringy and weird, it's a mad wholesome situation. I'm not going to lie. You do, when I've been watching it back in the day and like seeing people crying and like, or like say like, I love everyone in this camp, we've became a family. And I've always thought, get a grip. You know what I mean? Like, you must be having a laugh. I can't lie, it is pretty true. You get in there, you feel like you're all in this together. You're kind of going through hell together. Yeah, it's definitely real in there. It's definitely...
So, thoughts, 2030?
I'm definitely not on it. I'd struggle just with the food thing, you know. Like, if you don't feed me for like 2 hours, I'd just be absolutely fuming. Yeah.
Starving, coffee.
It might make good TV, though. I'd be like starting fights with everyone and that, and being proper grumpy.
It would make good TV.
Oh, this guy's a knobhead.
It would make good TV, I can't lie. I'd be locked in if you were.
Mate, one thing that we want to ask our guests all the time is, obviously, everyone always says, oh, what would you say to young age?
But yeah.
What do you want to say to your future self?
I'd say to my future self, appreciate how your life's been. Do you know what I mean? I don't sit and appreciate enough. I don't... it's only times like this where like people are asking me certain questions where I actually think about all what I've done. And it's pretty sick. And I think because I've done a lot of things so young and I didn't really have a life before it, it's like it's all normal. Everything I'm doing is all normal. Like there's people in my area, bro, that when they see this come out, they're going to be like, I'm going to have people at my door, rah, what was Tom Aspinall like? You know what I mean? And I'm naturally going to be like, yeah, cool guy, but really and truly, I should be like, yeah, bro, man got a leg kicked off Tom Aspinall. You know what I mean? Little things like that, like, I don't appreciate. So I would say to my older self, sit down, pour a little drink, even though I don't drink. I'll be a whiskey man them times. I can see myself being a whiskey man at night. Pour a drink and think about what you've done for the past 25 years. That's what I'd say, probably.
Do you ever have moments where you just sort of stop and think about what you've done?
No. I think, again, when I speak to like successful people, even if it's like in a completely different field like yours, just like, I feel like we're so similar. And even like different people I speak to, they do like nothing like fighting. I'm like, I can see myself so much.
It might be because the journey's not done.
Yeah. I always feel like I've got to do more.
Yeah, like it's definitely not done. I don't know when it will be.
But same. You've both got passion for something which is so clear and obvious, just listening to both of you.
I think I just want to get to a point when I'm older where, like, I want to be in a financial position where I'm not doing things in the public eye for money. Do you know what I mean? I don't have to fucking do a post on Instagram for the sake to get paid. You know what I mean?
So what would that be? Almost you sitting back and maybe writing music and just
Writing music. And obviously, I'd like to think that my I'm gonna spend the next 5 years now still putting out music that is gonna pay me forever. You know what I mean? I'm trying to. I'd go do acting lessons tomorrow. I'll be in a film tomorrow if someone asked me to be in a film tomorrow. You know what I mean? Loads of different things, but I just think I want to be in a position where, I can sit down and look back at the journey. You know what I mean? I don't want it all to be on fast forward mode like I feel like it is now. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm watching my life back, but in fast forward mode, so you just get I remember that. Yeah, it's gone now.
It's like Adam Sandler film.
Click. Click.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I need the slow-mo part. You know, when the girl's running across the road, I need the slow-mo version.
He wakes up at the end.
Yeah.
Love it. The last question that we'll ask everyone is, when the pressure is the highest, when everything is on the line, what's going on inside your mind? That's the inner game.
Honestly, this is dead honest. I don't even like saying this. When the pressure's on in my head, I'm just saying to myself, I'm the guy. There's not even one person on this planet that can tell me I'm not the guy. You know what I mean? When I'm about to go on stage and it does get a bit like, oh, what are we doing here? Da-da-da-da. Or sometimes I get booked for certain shows that are in a mad corner of the world where I think, I know in my head that not everyone knows me here. There might only be 10 people when I turn up here. That's when the anxiety comes, and I'll just say to myself, I'm the guy. Even if everyone here was speaking alien language, I'm too sick. They're going to like it anyway. And I think you've just got to gas yourself up a little bit. You know what I mean? And believe it. You know what I mean? Because back to not appreciating life, but not looking back and realising things, that is them little moments where you go, hang on a minute, I'm from here and I've just done all this. And now you're shitting yourself. Sort your head out, you know what I mean? Go and smash it. That's kind of like what's going on in my head.
Mate, it's nice to meet you properly. Yeah, really appreciate you coming down, mate. The leg kick was solid. I mean, that was the highest one we had. I think we need to do it again.
100%. I need to do some training.
Mate, anytime.
More content with you guys and everything like that. Is there anything before we go that you want to, have you got, you know, upcoming concerts, music?
I'm not even here on no promo. I'm just going to say, everyone, just be nice to each other and all that. It's nice to be nice, you know what I mean? Don't take no shit from no one. That's about it. Look out for the music and whatever else I've got going on. From my dirty northern accent. That's about it, really.
Love it, mate. Yeah. Thank you so much. That has been our first episode of The Inner Game. Next week, we're only getting bigger as well. Going Louis Farou, what do you think about that, H?
Legend. Is he going to take a leg kick?
I'm going to try and convince him. I don't know if he will.
Might kill Louis Farou.
I don't want to do that.
No.
But I'm going to try and convince him into it, yeah.
Sweet.
But yeah, make sure you like, subscribe, all that good stuff. And obviously, check out all of H's channels. That has been The Inner Game. Thanks so much.
And tell Ginge I'll knock him out.
He's coming soon as well. He's going to be...
Yeah, just putting that out there as well.
Love it. This was from...
Not me, what's this now?
This was from one of our videos.
Who do you think are winning a fight, Andy H or Central C?
H. What? H from Steps.
Without fail, yeah.
How many times has that happened?
daily.
Does it?
Until I went on I'm a Celebrity.
Probably the same.
And, oh, and then all the older people now are like, hey, you know, I was in town the other day, and I'm not even joking, bro, about 10, 60-odd-year-old woman all came to the car out the window, and they were saying, can I have your number?
No way.
And all that. I was like, no. But that's the first time, like, older people have came and not said H from Steps.
Thanks so much.
Oh, mate, thanks a lot.
Boys.
Thanks.
No,
that was great.
It.
That was great. Next time on The Inner Game, Louis Theroux.
The weirdest thing about weird people is how normal they are. I used to say that a prison was my happy place. Winging it, being in the moment, being awkward. All the things that I thought were why I couldn't be doing the job I do have proved to be my biggest assets.
I still absolutely love MMA. That doesn't mean it doesn't scare me to death, because it absolutely does.